else, Troy?
I found out what this means to the person in the center and not the mind.
It means you didn't listen to your mind, you tried to hear the mantra.
Yes.
And how did you, were you somewhat successful some of the time?
I could notice when my mind was wandering, and then I was more aware of that, and then I brought it back when it was necessary.
Yeah. Because if we wish to get the result of chanting Hare Krishna, we have to chant without offense. And part of chanting without offense is chanting attentively. So we want to cultivate the habit of chanting attentively. Now, when we were reading about juveniles last week, we came across one purport of Prabhupada that I hadn't seen before. And I thought it was extremely powerful. When Narada Muni told Dhruva the mantra, who remembers the mantra that Narada Muni told Dhruva? Even just saying that raises one's consciousness. So powerful. So where Narada Muni told Dhruva the mantra, the last paragraph of Prabhupada's purport, listen to it very carefully. Meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. So that means the mind should be engaged also when one chants the mantra. And this is of course true with the Hare Krishna mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. So Prabhupada is saying that there's many ways that one can chant Hare Krishna, but the way that he's recommending is a way of meditation, and one is meditating upon the sound vibration. The consciousness is applied to the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one, now I'm going to ask you what Prabhupada means by this, and it will be explained later in the purport, but as soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the form of Krishna. Okay, you can try it. Close your eyes and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Okay. Did you see the form of Krishna?
Did we chant?
Did
we chant?
Well, some of us were chanting.
So those who chanted, they saw it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that if one doesn't see, that means one's not chanting. Then one can also ask the question, that what am I thinking I'm doing when I'm thinking I'm chanting? What's going on? But Prabhupada actually explains what he means a little later. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the forms of Krishna, Rama, and their energies. And that is the perfect stage of trance, because meditation ends in samadhi, or a focus on the form of the Lord. So because the form of Krishna and Krishna's name, Krishna, the sound vibration, are both on the absolute platform, they are abhina, or none different. So this, as soon as one chants, one sees the form of the Lord as the perfectional stage of chanting, and Prabhupada explains it here. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna. So that means that it is that one can see the form of Krishna if one chants perfectly. But not necessarily that one will see the form of the Lord. Again, that is a perfection of chanting, that it is indeed possible. And we should one day, hopefully, actually understand the non-difference between Krishna and his name as we chant. Krishna should actually appear fully in our consciousness as we chant Krishna's name. This is perfection. But one shouldn't artificially do it. Try to say, oh, I'm supposed to see the form of the Lord while I chant, so I'm going to put the form in my mind. That is artificial. And Prabhupada explains further. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna. But when chanting is performed offenselessly, then the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. So the reason why we don't see the form of the Lord, because the quality of our chanting is not very high. It is offensive. That means we commit offenses while we chant. And a simple way to look at offenses is it's insulting to Krishna. If you're talking to someone, I don't know if you've had the experience, if you're talking to someone and their mind is going elsewhere and they're doing so many other things while they're talking to you. Have you ever had that experience? Mm-hmm. Many times? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Somewhat insulted. They're not taking what you say seriously. So when we are chanting Krishna's names but allowing our mind to wander elsewhere or insulting in other ways Krishna, then he will not benedict us with revealing his full form within our consciousness. But as soon as we chant offenselessly, then Krishna himself will appear in the consciousness. So that makes it clear what our task is as we chant. It is to chant without offense. So there, and Prabhupada concludes by saying, the chanter, therefore, has to concentrate on hearing the vibration, and without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. So in one sense, the task is too simple for our overly active minds. All we have to do is listen to to hear the sound vibration. Now I'm going to read this paragraph again so you get a feel for it. Meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the form of Krishna, Rama, and their energies. And that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna. When chanting is performed offenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. The chanter, therefore, has to concentrate on hearing the vibration and without extra endeavor. On his part, the Lord will automatically appear. So that's all we have to do. And without extra endeavor means that we don't have to do anything else. We just have to hear. And that is the simplest, or the second stage of chanting, when we actually try and hear. And try to chant defenselessly. Last week, while referring to the Shastakam verses spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which guide us from the most basic stages of Krishna consciousness up to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness, we spoke about the first four verses of Shastakam and we spoke about the practical application of the principles of those four verses to our chanting. So I'd like to go over them again. So the first one, which is Teto Dharpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadzavagni Navapanam, Shayakaraiva Chandrika, Vitaranam, Vidyavara Jivanam, Anandam Bhudivarjanam, Kritipatam, Pona Amrita Aspadanam, Savatma Snapanam Param, Vajayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So this verse tells us that we should chant Krishna's names, we should chant Hare Krishna, whether we chant offensively or offenselessly, we should chant. Whether we chant loudly or softly, we should chant. The first principle, there's no question of chanting offenselessly or offensively unless we're chanting. So we should chant. Kalona Stevana Stevana Steva Gatiyaniyata. This is the means of spiritually advancing in this age of Kali. The second verse is Nam Nam Akari Bahura Nivasara Sakti. Tapita Niyamata Smaranena Kala Itadrasi Tabakipa Bhagavan Mamapi Dajaiva Midisamiha Nanjanuraga. That not only should we chant, the second stage is we apply our consciousness to chanting offenselessly, avoiding the offenses. There are 10 offenses, plus inattentiveness, pramada. Pramada means madness. Madness means the mind is not functioning properly. And when our mind is wandering all over the universe and thinking unlimited things and doing everything but listening as we chant, is a kind of madness, wildness of mind. And surprisingly, or perhaps not surprisingly, it's quite difficult to just simply listen. Unexpectedly difficult, because our minds are filled with so many unwanted items. And really, when we start to chant and try to listen, it is not that our mind becomes more unruly, but we just become slightly conscious of how bad it actually is. Because all day long, as we go about our life, the mind is just going here and there and running there and thinking this about someone or thinking that about someone and thinking good things and thinking bad and wanting and hating and fearing and longing for and on. The mind is doing this continuously and we're unconscious of it. It's so unruly and unfocused. So we should try and listen to our chanting. But if we try to listen to all of our chanting, we'll become very frustrated. If you sit down and say, I'm really going to seriously try to hear every single one of the Hare Krishna Ma mantras that I'm chanting, very frustrating. Because you can't do it. Because the mind is so infected with the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So instead of trying to hear all the mantras we chant, we just have a simple suggestion. Just try and hear one. And which one? The one we are chanting right now. And if that is difficult, and it does get difficult when the mind is jumping, in the jumpy mode, just try to hear one name of Krishna, and that is so powerful actually. Hare Krishna Rama. Hearing a whole mantra is so powerful. So hear the first Hare. Or if you get to the Ramas and you realize you haven't heard anything, never mind. Let the Ramas carry you to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So just try to hear one mantra. How many of you during the week that you heard one mantra as you chanted? Me also. I jumped on this issue. Actually, because I spoke about it, my chanting was better on most days. Because I was focused more. When I found that I have good periods and bad periods, but if I don't try and listen to one mantra, there's no anxiety, there's no tension about it, because my mind is going crazy, just wandering everywhere. Quite easy. Just like if you get in the car and you're driving, but you don't have the ignition on and you're not in gear, there's so much less anxiety because you're not going anywhere. You don't have to worry about traffic lights and traffic and people running across the road. But you're not going anywhere. So what is the use? It's playing only, superficial. So the second principle, the first principle is chant. Second principle is chant offenselessly, especially try to hear one mantra and be detached, be determined, make a sankalpa. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm chanting, I'm trying to hear this one mantra. But be detached, and if you don't do well on that mantra, try again. It's sort of simple in a sense. Then the third principle, which is Trinada Pi Sunitsena Sarodha Pi Sikishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanaya Sahadi. This is where we take shelter of Krishna's names. That even for my ability to hear the names of Krishna, I can't do it. When we're young, or not necessarily when we're young, but we tend to have pride in our own abilities. I can do this, and I can do that. And then when someone seems to be able to do what we like to do better than we can do it, what emotion comes? So what a difficult situation to be in, because do we want no one in the whole world to be able to do something better than us? So that's a lot to ask for. And really what you have to do is push everyone down, because we're not the greatest at everything. So that's the criticizing mentality that comes when one is envious. We try to push everyone else down mentally. Oh, this one's not good for this reason, and that one's really bad for that reason, and that one's really bad for that reason. So if we cut off everyone's head, then our head will be the highest. And then we can also cut off their legs too, and we'll be even still higher. And then we wonder why no one likes us. So the third principle is give that up, trying to be the center of the universe and realize we need help. We need help from Krishna. We need help from Krishna's holy names. We are not perfect. We are so imperfect. We are not powerful. In fact, we are insignificant. And how could someone insignificant be powerful? I even heard Prabhupada one time comment on this. He was complaining that he had gotten a letter. He didn't say who it was from, but he said, he imitated, "My dear Prabhupada, I am the most insignificant, useless, fallen servant, and I have a big problem." And Prabhupada didn't explain it, but he just said, again, "Just see." Leaving it to us to figure out how someone who is completely insignificant and worthless can have a big, significant problem. So a real feeling of insignificance is not psychologically helpful unless one, or spiritually helpful, unless one knows where one's shelter is. and take shelter of that shelter, which is Krishna. Everyone in this world is bluffing. No one is significant. Everyone is trying to make everyone else think that they are significant, but everyone is bluffing. No one can be significant in this world. For a short time, someone is a little prominent, and then they're gone. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. No one remembers them. And what to speak of where they are now? Who knows? So when one becomes humble, it doesn't mean just simply feeling bad about oneself. It means taking shelter of Krishna. Oh Krishna, I admit it. I need your help. Very, very difficult to do this. Because the nature of the soul in the material world is to have a very well-developed false sense of self, false ego, and a higher estimation of themselves than is true. So when one comes to grip with one's insignificance, then one can chant properly. That's true, not a piece of it, you know. So even our bad chanting, inattentive chanting, can turn into good attentive chanting if we realize that my mind is so unruly and bad that I have no help, I have no ability to improve unless Krishna gives me his mercy. So there's two parts of every relationship. There's what I'm supposed to do, and then there's the part that the other person is supposed to do. So when we take shelter of Krishna, we're actually awakening our relationship with him, because that is actually our relationship with Krishna. He is great and we are tiny. When we're thinking that we're great, and maybe he's great, but we're great, that we cannot have a relationship with him, in fact, because we're an illusion. So our part of our relationship with Krishna is to take shelter of him. And his part is his business. And of course he will protect us and take care of us. But that's his business. His part is his business, and taking shelter of Krishna is our part, and that's our business. And in spiritual life and in material life, it's always good to mind your own business. Because if you're minding everyone else's business, there's no one minding your business. And then when you don't mind your business, it falls apart. So that, I found that is a very... And they should have a new, you know, that if any of you use the accounting software, MYOB, M-Y-O-B, they don't have that in Israel. That's very famous. It means M-Y-O-B, mind your own business. But we should have a, and it's an accounting software. But there should be a psychological software too. Mind your own business. So the third stage is to Namastraya Kori Jatana Tumi, take shelter of the holy names. Oh holy names, if you're not merciful to me, I have no hope. And chant, not thinking that as if it's another mantra, but that mood of actually taking shelter of Krishna's names should coat and permeate our chanting. That's the third stage. And the fourth stage, and that stage is it both breeds the stage of nishtha or fixedness, and also it causes the stage of nishtha and fixedness, and it also is the stage when it's perfected, when one is steadily fixed in that mood. And then the fourth stage and the final stage we'll talk about today is when you try to take shelter of Krishna and become a good devotee and really be focused on pleasing Krishna, what you start seeing is all the dirt and garbage in your heart, all the extra desires, all the selfishness, all the desiring of wealth and prestige and liberation. I just want to get free from the sufferings of existence. These become very apparent when one tries to take shelter of Krishna fully and purely. One becomes aware of one's own impurities. So the fourth stage is that one becomes aware of one's impurities and desires, and it may sound funny, but one doesn't desire what one desires, which is a difficult thing to do, in case you haven't noticed. I have these desires, but the desire to serve Krishna purely is even deeper. I don't want these things, even though they infect my heart. I don't want these things. And then that stage includes a deeper taking of shelter of Krishna, a deeper dependence on him to cleanse the heart. So we should chant. So we've talked about four stages, so naturally tending towards being ambitious, you know, we want to chant on the fourth stage or something like that, or if we've heard the eighth stages, we want to chant on the final stage of pure love and separation, like Srimati Radharani. But of course, we can't just because we want. It doesn't mean very much in this world. I want, because ultimately, no one cares what we want. That's the way it is. Sorry to have to be the one getting bad news, but no one actually cares. Well, I want this. Well, you know what? I don't care at all. Well, that's the way it is in the material world, basically. So, we should start trying our best to chant. And then, if we can, we should try to be attentive while we chant in the ways we've spoken of. And if we can do that, and if it comes naturally, we should take shelter of the holy names. If we really feel that we need the help of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, then we should take shelter of him through his holy names. And the fourth stage that we've talked about is when we become aware, painfully aware, of our impurities. We should not want them and take deeper shelter of Krishna's names. Okay, are there any questions about this? Because whether there are or not, quite soon we should just begin to chant.
How come we differentiate between imagining, while chanting, imagining that we see Krishna and that Krishna is really appearing to us?
I don't have that problem usually. but just listen. If you see the form of Krishna, that's wonderful. No problem. It's wonderful. Just chant and pray to that form, but don't do it artificially. Try to bring the form of Krishna into your mind and the pastimes of Krishna in your mind. Because then the next thing you'll start asking your friends, you never guess what happened in my japa today. Because I'm such a wonderful devotee. Guess who appeared in my mind today? You might be able to guess. I know you don't care, but you should guess at least so you understand who you're dealing with. So you you have understanding of my exalted position.
Oh, by the way, can you help me by doing this and this and this?
So, basically, what our deepest realizations, in any case, we keep to ourselves. So, if Krishna's form comes to you by his causeless mercy, we say, no, it's by his mercy, and it's very fortunate. And if it's only, and if it's not Krishna, it's only his form, it's not, it's fine. It's not bad at all. It's very good. But we shouldn't try to imagine things and what it means and this and that. That's anti-Krishna. Good question. Any other questions?
In the text about Juvenile, so I don't know if I understand it right, but he was supposed to focus on the form of Krishna while chanting his mantra, and now I only hear descriptions about of the form.
That was in his samadhi, wasn't it? But he told the whole process. Maybe you're right on that. I'd have to look to make sure. But he was practicing Astanga Yoga. So the purpose of Astanga Yoga is to, is samadhi, to focus on the Lord. So he told them the whole process all at once. Because Dhruva was so powerful that he was going to achieve it very quickly. So he told them what the Lord looked like, so he could focus on him within the heart. But you don't have to worry about that. You should be attracted to the form of Krishna, but mostly we should try and hear, as Prabhupada said. And everything will come automatically if we can chant offenselessly. I can't remember fully accurately the frame of reference.
What about the deity?
If you want to look at the deity or think of the form of the deity and it helps your listening, then do it. It's wonderful. But if you want to, as I once did, have 20 pictures of deities to make sure that you have enough to look at, it's going to distract you. As it did me. And therefore I stopped. Do you want to hear a question?
After we finish our 16 rounds, and if we heard a very sweet mantra, we heard it, one mantra. And we just grabbing to it, and we are so attached that we don't want to do more tapa. What to do in this situation where we feel that we heard one mantra, and we are afraid to lose this attachment to this mantra?
Even though I don't want to chant around, and I'm looking for a good excuse. If you chanted one mantra and you really heard it, but you've chanted 16 rounds, and you're so attached to that mantra that you don't want to leave it, yes?
If we try again to listen to one mantra, we'll do the whole process again, and we might end up bitter and...
Don't worry so much. Just try and stand and hear a mantra and be happy that you've heard a mantra. No need to create an extra cause of anxiety in this world. There's plenty of real ones to cause of anxiety. Don't worry about it. Okay?
So how can we detach?
By being detached. I'll try again. I heard a mantra. I'm so fortunate. Let me try to hear the mantra I'm chanting now. Okay? What to do?
How long is my service?
last question, and then we're going to get down to the real thing. Not talking about chanting, but thinking.
If I'm listening to Japan, I have a sense of I'm the doer. Is it like that? Am I even when I'm listening to the Mahamantra, am I the doer or not?
Well, there's two points that I can think of. One point, if you're chanting and thinking, well, I'm the doer, I'm really chanting really nicely, and I'm probably chanting much nicer than everyone else. Everyone should understand how nice I'm chanting. That's the kind of thing that the mind gets into subtly when it thinks it's the doer and it's hearing. And then all of a sudden you're not hearing anymore because you're thinking of how wonderful you are and how expert you are at controlling the mind and on and on and on. And you're not hearing anymore. But there's no taking shelter of the holy, true shelter of the holy names when one is like that. Because we're not the doer. If you try to chant perfectly, and you should try it this time, there's no question of you thinking yourself a great, powerful doer. There's no question. When you try to be truly humble, you don't become proud of being humble. Or if you do, you're no longer humble. If you try to become humble, you realize how proud you are. When you try to chant nicely and attentively, you realize how poor your chanting is. And then rather than thinking oneself the doer, one blames everyone else. And they're all doing it to me. That's the way the mind works. So don't worry about too much about what to do, just try it here. That's what Prabhupada recommended in that report. Did I actually touch upon anywhere near your question?
Yes, but also I may think, am I doing this? Or am I? Not? I mean, not
but
that I'm thinking that, but it just comes.
Don't worry about it. Just
am I thinking or am I listening?
Yeah.
I'm just supposed.
And then you could also think, Hare Krishna, am I hearing or am I listening? Maybe I'm listening and hearing, or hearing and then listening. Or maybe I'm doing both at the same time. And after all, what's the difference? That's the kind of thing the mind will really start doing to you. And instead, just try to hear the sound vibration, instead of worrying about it all. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so many. When we start chanting, just watch what your mind is going to start doing to you. Give you so many things to think about other than just simply hearing one mantra. You know what I mean? So when it does that, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and start to hear. Very simple. Okay, since it's so simple, let's do it. So we'll start for a few beats. We'll all chant together. The same speed. And very quickly, I'm going to say, chant at your own speed. And when I say chant at your own speed, I also mean chant at your own at a volume, loudness, softness that's comfortable for you to hear. Or you can move to sit here if you want to, or there. The person next to you is chanting louder than you like. But the task is always the same. It's just try to hear one mantra. And then you can take shelter of Krishna's names, etc. And it doesn't work unless you actually become somewhat determined. Make a sankalpa, that's the extra word, a determination. A clear determination that this is what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to hear one mantra. If we don't make that type of a mental determination, the mind will just go and it will never return. The mind will say, you can chant if you want, but I'm leaving. This is too much. So make, if you so desire, and this can't be done by force, if you so desire, make a determination, your own determination now, that your test now is to hear one mantra, if you so desire. If you don't so desire, you don't have to. This is between you and you. Okay. Chant together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You chant at your own speed. What's comfortable to you that facilitates your hearing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Place your consciousness in the past, or the future, the present year, one month.
month. Or it's not 1 month, but 1 day. Bring your mind back, try again. Be determined.
for what you're doing, keep conscious. Doing, keep your determination. If you're tired, become aware of it and decide how you're going to deal with it. But listen to one mantra. Hear one mantra, be very happy. Thank you. Be determined to hear one name or one mantra. Keep bringing your consciousness back to the past. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. want to hear how all the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Once you hear the chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, don't give up. How did you do? Well, think how you did. Raise your hand if you heard one mantra. Raise your hand if you heard one name at least. Raise your hand if it became more difficult as you went along, as the time went along. Raise your hand if it became more easy. Raise your hand if you're tired. 12 o'clock is too late for me last night. I got to sleep at 9 o'clock. I'm a good boy. Anyone like to say something about how they chanted? Yes, the most.
The
name is
actually
here. It
becomes very sweet to the
tongue
and to the ear.
Anyone else like to say something? Yes.
determination, so it becomes so much more easier to change to become open.
I was hoping, I don't know, it's probably not practical, but it'd be so nice if the devotees one day a week would gather together at some point and chant for an hour.
They can gather in my place.
In your room. Anyone else like to say something, Katie?
At the beginning, I felt very, it took me a lot of effort to get, but as I went by, I felt that it became more sweet.
Yeah.
And sweeter and sweeter. Than any time I did that before the process.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else like to say something? Yes?
It reminded me of the chanting in Vrindavan, because all the devotees, the chanting of the devotees is very powerful, and then the heart is becoming more soft, and Krishna is manifesting that passion. So the japa is much different, and if I know that I cannot do it by myself,
okay, I would like to comment on the comment. You cannot do it by yourself except very rarely. Now what should you do? You should take that mood that I cannot do by myself and take it to Krishna and say, Krishna, unless you help me, I cannot do it by myself. Not just leave it, I cannot do it by myself. Because if you think I cannot do it myself, then you won't do it. And you won't turn to Krishna. But take it the next step, connect it to Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna's names. And then he can do it. And that's what we want. We want him to decide to hear our case. All the reasons we need mercy. Just like in the United States, there's a Supreme Court only hears certain cases that they need it. So we want Narottam Das Thakur praise. Wouldn't it be nice if you became known as the savior of Narottama as one of your titles? So we have to present our case. I can't do this by myself, but present it to him. Not to your mind, otherwise this mind will say, yes, I agree, you won't be able to chant like this very much. Go back to sleep. Anyway, you understand what I mean. Thank you. Any other?
When you encourage us during japa, it was very encouraging to me personally. So I should remember the words and keep encouraging myself during japa.
Yeah, I think I should encourage myself. I wonder how I should encourage myself. I probably should encourage myself to just listen. Maybe I should also encourage myself to stay away. But anyway, am I dreaming this or am I actually saying this? Maybe I should try here.
I wasn't able to make it from Kalpa. My mind was very talkative. Whenever I tried to make it some sankalpa, it just said something else.
It said something else. What did it say? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question.
They don't have the microphone is not on.
Your mind was talkative. So what do you do when the mind is talkative?
I don't care.
No, next time your mind is talkative, why don't you see what sometimes chanting a little bit louder helps, really making your test very extremely simple. I'm going to hear one name, the first Hari. Make it really simple if the mind is talkative. It's my suggestion. Or, but at least keep keep the first principle of keep chanting. Any other questions or comments? I mean, not questions or comments, but anyone like to say how their chanting was? Yes.
I found that in order to, for me to really hear, I had to really slow down and just take in for one name and just make it really, you know, like really slow, so I could actually hear.
And you actually heard?
And I heard maybe one name.
Which name?
It was Harim.
You said that very nicely too. It sounded very sweet. Very nice. Anyone else? Yes.
That for myself, in order to be able to listen to 1 month, I have to be reminded to be in late in Krishna. So it's difficult to listen to your mantra. And other things is that if there is any thought or material thought given to the mind which are not desired, as you can say, that identify with. So as long as I'm identified with this, I cannot listen, I have to be aware and to not want it, then I can be more attentive to what I'm doing.
Yeah, in life we have to decide what we want. Life and in Japan, we have to decide what we want. And no one can make that decision, those decisions for us, in fact. Okay. What I'd like to do now is something somewhat different. Let me just make sure it's going to work. I've lost my desktop. There, yes it is. This is the function key, that's why. Of Prabhupada. It's short, meaning it's 10 minutes, I think, or maybe a little bit more. And what I want you to do, if you want to. What Prabhupada is going to do in much of this video is chant, japa, but there's no sound. It was made in 1967 by one devotee named Damodar. And the reason why he made this video is that Prabhupada had become ill. He had been in the United States for maybe a year and a half, and then he became ill. Why did Prabhupada become ill? Because he was 70 years old, of course, with Krishna's mercy. But he was 70 years old, and he had twice as much energy as any of the young men and ladies that he was dealing with. He would play the drum for 3 hours. He would do this. He would cook all the food for everyone. He would do everything, and translate too. So he was recovering, but then. He decided to go to India, to return to India. And the devotees hadn't, in New York, hadn't, they couldn't imagine being Krishna conscious without him personally there. So they asked, can we remember you by having making a little film of you? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can do that. So the next morning, one devotee, Damodar, who was a filmmaker, amongst other things, this was the day that Prabhupada left for India, and he had just been ill, and he filmed him. There was no video at that time. Well, maybe there was, but it wasn't for personal use. So this is the video that they took that was going to be their association with Prabhupada after Prabhupada left. Now he's sitting and chanting his japa for some of the time. And I want you to watch him. Just watch him. And after the video is completed, and again it's 10 minutes or so, I would like you to say if you would, if you have detected any of Prabhupada's qualities, and what would you like to say about Prabhupada? You ready? Okay? Okay? Everyone ready? Now we'll see if technology is going to come through when we need it. No. I'll change it. Okay. That means get other drive. Get the other drive. Okay, well, we're trying to get technology to be good and cooperative. Why don't you try and chant and hear one mantra? See if you can do it in the midst of all this. See if you can do it. First, make a sankalpa. And actually try to hear.
Something like working with the
They work on that. Okay, you ready? Remember what the test is. Just look at Prabhupada. You can chant. What qualities of Prabhupada are you going to detect? There won't be any sound.
Thank you. Qualities of the decision.
Goodbye. Apologies. Did you notice in Prabhupada? Yes.
I was very much impressed from the how amazingly so internal. It's like completely unaware of the camera, completely doing his own business.
Amazingly internal. Very grave also. Anyone else? Yes. What made you think he was humble? Very internal, very internal. Always like that. You'd ask him a question, and there was never any typical reply. You could never predict what was going to be the reply. He responded from a completely different level of existence.
Any other?
It was hard to tell because there was no sound. I'll say that. Very much at ease. Wherever he was at ease. Wherever he was at ease. Yes. There's no, like, no coverings of his consciousness of his, in his eyes. This film is very dramatic in its way, though, because he's not doing anything extraordinary. Everything he does is extraordinary somehow or another. It's astounding because he was leaving the next day for India. He hadn't been there since he'd come to the West, and he had suffered since then 3 heart attacks, one fairly recently. Very strong. I don't know. Impressive.
It's looking as if he was in a trance, like the impression is magic. And also his glances is very penetrating to the soul. It's like you cannot identify.
Very penetrating. He didn't smile very much, but when he smiled, you smiled. When he was grave like that, you were grave. He didn't smile much in the video with him.
Not living the normal life that you are living, but I'm living.
That you're not living. Anyone else?
When he was taking prasad and he was really very strong, he kept chewing.
He was 70 and still had all his teeth. Also, he didn't hold the spoon like a Westerner holds the spoon. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Very delicate. All his movements are actually quite delicate. Anyone else?
Very noble.
Yeah. Very noble. There's one time where he did something with his hand, a real, he was holding his hand like this, his left hand. Did you see that? Very expressive. He sort of, he didn't talk just with his mouth, but his hand. Anyone else?
Very delicate.
Delicate.
From the photograph of Madame Lohan.
Yes.
And then it came to show that.
Yes.
Like it's carrying it when everything.
Yeah, no one knew anything about Vrindavan, no one knew anything about Krishna, practically speaking, no one even knew anything. In my whole life growing up, I never met anyone who was a vegetarian, never even heard of it. There's something completely. There's other videos where he's chanting in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. And it's a color one, the one I'm thinking of. And it looks like he's from a different planet almost, that everyone is, you know, long hair and, you know, the style of the 60s, and they're singing and holding hands and things, and talk, but it's just there. Playing the drum and singing, but it looks like he just landed there from somewhere. Oh, it's a fun one, just in this. Maybe not, because it's 1 o'clock already. Anyone want to say anything else? Okay, so this evening we'll have a last meeting, and then we'll play with the mystical preaching cards. Play with it a little bit. Have some fun.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Indeed, 6 o'clock. Okay. To the Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Harinam Prabhu ki jai. Please try to chant and hear. Please. Take shelter of the holy names.
Yeah.
Yeah.